This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County, and Happy New Year. This is be our first studio broadcast for 2026. And my name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. Today I'm going to do a little bit different broadcast than what I normally do. I'm going to share with you some of the message that I preached for our Christmas message. We're going to walk through that. I think it's a good message for us to set the stage for what God can do in our lives for 2026. Get to that in just a moment. Let you know that also this week on Wednesday's broadcast, I'm going to be introducing to you my son-in-law and youth leader, youth pastor. And we're going to be talking to him, going to have him share a little bit of his testimony. We're going to be relaunching our youth program. We've got a young adults class. We'll say, how did you get a young adults class? They were youth and they became adults. And so we have a class for them. We have a class for adults. We have a class for kids. But Harley, Pastor Harley, is going to be with us on Wednesday. He and my daughter and their children moved back last year in September, and they felt like God wanted them to come and assist us in reaching Brevard County, and we're going to be introducing you to him and the ministry that he's been a part of for the past several months, and then we're going to be launching or relaunching our youth program later in the month of January. I believe that's on the 22nd. So we'll be talking about that more on Wednesday's program. And by the way, I will tell you this, don't miss out on Wednesday's program. Harley has an amazing testimony of where he was, what God has done in his life, where he's brought him to. I had a sociology professor when I was in college. I was going to a community college. It wasn't a Christian college, but I did have a Christian professor for this sociology class I was taking, but she was of the mindset that your spiritual journey was determined by the culture in which you were raised. That, you know, in her mind, the only reason I'm Assembly of God is because I was raised in an Assembly of God church. That's not the God that I know. And you will hear that in Harley's story. Harley is a first generation Christian. And we are thankful for what God has done. Come to find out, as we were talking before they got married 2021. He was one of my district school of ministry students on a satellite campus where I could see people, but I couldn't see faces. I couldn't really hear them unless they raised their hand and asked a question. I was teaching from Jacksonville, and he was down in South Florida. And didn't put the pieces together until after my daughter and he started dating. He's like, you were my professor in district school of ministry. And that was kind of a fun fact. Hey, I want to say thank you to the folks at Treasure Your Landscape. Treasure Your Landscape is a blessing here in Brevard County. They're a blessing to Merritt Assembly of God. They're a blessing to me, and they're a blessing to the Refresh Radio program. They're a licensed and insured family business in Brevard County. They've been doing landscaping for over 20 years. They are passionate about what they do. They have a full array of products. They have carefully designed putting greens, premium artificial turf, landscaping services, paver installation, landscape lighting, water features, landscape repair. They do everything from designing to planting to maintaining. They have a great crew that they work with. And 2025, I believe, was a growing year for them. They want to transform your outdoor area into a place that your family will treasure and will want to spend time. They also have Space Coast Nursery, which is at 3880 North Courtney Parkway. That's 3880 North Courtney Parkway in Merritt Island, north of the Barge Canal on the east side of the road. They're open Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5. Here's two phone numbers that you can use to reach them out. You can reach Treasure Your Landscape at 321-749-1432 and Space Coast Nursery at 321-452-5565. I can tell you from personal experience that when they get done with your project, you're going to say, wow, that looks better than what I thought it would. That looks better than what I thought it could. And Treasure Your Landscape has the ability to take an idea, make it reality, and make it something that you will be glad that you did. They're a great resource. 321-749-1432 if you'd like to consider those sorts of updates to your property. So, like I said, I want to share with you the Christmas message that I preached at Merritt Assembly of God during the last, I guess it was December the 21st, the last Sunday before Christmas. I had studied, I had put my outline together. I had a title on the message, and the title was, you know, going to be God Incarnate. And the week before I preached this message, I was watching a minister's video group conference. It's something that happens once a week. I get to be a part of it on occasion. Thursday mornings are a pretty busy morning for me. And because I had done everything that needed to be done on this Thursday morning, I was able to log into this conference, this group. There was a guest speaker there that day, and it wasn't like any of the other times that I had been able to be a part of that. Instead, this was a gentleman who was sharing a story about his pastoral experience. He had now been elected to be the head of a particular ministry network, but he pastored a church in a town, and he said, we had this lady, and she was come. I won't share all the details. She was a homeless lady. She had some physical challenges that also became emotional challenges and mental challenges, but yet she came to the church, and there were a lot of things that happened in her life that probably would have caused some churches to ask her not to come back. And it was just a very interesting journey. And he told about how they were going to take the church van, and they were going to take a ministry trip to a couple hours away to hear a very renowned speaker. And so they sent the invitation out there. Hey, we're going. If you want to go, you know, let us know. The pastor, the pastor's wife, one other person, and this lady all decided that they were going to go. It was about 2 hours away from where they lived. And on the way back, this lady, you know, said, hey, I need to stop and I need to go to the restroom. And how far is it until we get back? And he said, well, we're about 40 miles out. And they, you know, continued to encourage her to, you know, hang on, we're going to make it. Well, it got to the point where they weren't going to make it. And so they stopped at a truck stop, and they let her, you know, go in. And as she entered the building, she immediately, and it was a desperate situation at this point in time, she stopped and she turned around and came back out and said, are you all still going to be here when I come back? And said, yeah, we're not going to leave you. And she said, okay. Goes back into the building. She reemerged a second time and said, "You're sure you're going to wait for me, right?" Said, "Yes, we're going to wait for you." She entered again, third time emerged. And remember, she was a highly motivated young lady to get this need met. And finally, at that time, the pastor's wife said, "Look, I'm going to go in with her to reassure her that, you know, we're going to be here." She came back out and, you know, was much more comfortable. And she said, "Pastor, did I ever tell you how I came to this town? And it's not a town, to the best of my knowledge, that I've ever visited." And he said, "No, you've told me a lot of stories. They called her a particular name. Come to find out, that wasn't her real name. It was just what people called her." And he said, "No, you've told me a lot of stories about yourself, but you never told me how you came to live in the town." And she said, "Well, when I was 19 years old, my family and I came hundreds of miles away, and we went and we visited this tourist attraction. And after we visited the tourist attraction, we were on our way back home, and I needed to use the restroom. And while I was in using the restroom, my family drove off and abandoned me. And that's how I came to live in your town." And that's a heart-wrenching story. And so here I am. I've got my Christmas message lined up. And he said, he made a statement similar to this. He said, "She was the church, or she was the gift that our church needed." And I will tell you that our churches are not meant to be museums. Our churches are supposed to be spiritual hospitals where the hurting, where those who have been, you know, robbed, beat up, left bleeding and dying on the side of the road, it's a place where those in need of salvation can find a Savior. Those who are in need of spiritual, physical, emotional, mental healing can find that in the house of God. It's a place where, you know, the hurting are supposed to be able to meet their healer. And he said she was the gift our church needed. And at that point in time, I said, you know, rather than the message or the title that I have, I think a better title for this message would, and this is Christmas Sunday, would be "The Gift That God Knew We Needed." The truth of the matter is, God knows us better than we know ourselves. So if you are listening to this program and you do not have Jesus in your heart, I want to invite you to Merit Assembly of God. We are not a big church. We have a church with that need not just the hurting, but people who want to minister to the hurting. As I'm going to be sharing, you know, some of the points from this message over the course of this week, you know, there are promises that we're clinging to as a church, you know, promise for musicians. And we are thankful for, you know, Harley and Robin coming back to Brevard County, because we've been praying for helpers for the harvest field for many years, and they know the heart of the house, and they've been away. They've served for several years. They had other job offers, and they felt like, and to be honest with you, those offers were probably better than ours. And we know this. We are thankful to have helpers so that we can do a better job of reaching the lost and the hurting to where they can find healing and hope. So let me read to you Matthew chapter 2. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. The first gift that I want to talk to you about today that God knew that we needed was the gift of divine interruption. Herod the Great was the king over Israel at this point in time, but Herod was not there because of his ethnicity. He was reigning as king over the Jews, but he was not Jewish. So as much as he longed to sit on the throne, he did not have a birthright to the throne. He was viewed by many as illegitimate. And I will tell you this as well. He did not have the character. He was not a king because he was born to be king. He was king because he did politics better than the other people who had more authentic claims to be king than what he did. And so I was watching a video during the Christmas season, and it said Herod the Great is one of the few people throughout history who was known as the Great while he was still alive. A lot of times people ascribe greatness after a person has passed away, but Herod did have some notable accomplishments. So he was the one who built the temple. He was appointed king by Rome because he formed an alliance with Mark Antony. And Mark Antony, he literally swore his allegiance to Zeus. Now, I will tell you that being the king over God's covenant people, you and I have an allegiance, but it is not to an idol. It is not to a government system. We have an allegiance to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Herod didn't not only have a different background, but he also had an inferior character. He was a horrible individual. He sought to legitimize his claim to power by marrying a lady from a rival faction. In the process, her family ended up being killed. She ended up having a brother, and Herod appointed him to be the high priest and then had him killed. He had two sons by her, Herod did, and he had those two sons killed. And then eventually, with some prompting from his own sister, he had his wife killed. So where Jesus came for people to have life, Herod's life was notoriously known and of being a person who eliminated life at his own pleasure. He would switch alliances for Mark Antony when Mark Antony proved to be on the losing side, and he said, "Look, I serve allegiance to Rome, not to a particular man." So loyalty was not something he was necessarily known for. To obtain favor with the people inside Israel, he did, you know, some elaborate buildings. He built the temple, took a long time. He built outside of Israel to gain favor with Rome. So he was using his resources however he needed to maintain his political allegiance. Because of all of the people that he had crossed and all of the enemies he had made, he was extremely insecure and paranoid. And because of all of his murders and things like that, he suffered a great deal of mental and emotional torment because he was a wicked, wicked man. Toward the end of his life, he was suffering with extreme physical symptoms, and it was extremely agonizing and painful. And that's about the time in his life when the wise men show up saying that they were there to honor the one who was born King of the Jews. So you've got an insecure and paranoid person who's doing everything he can to hang on to the throne, and this huge parade of people, this huge procession show up and say, hey, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? Let me tell you, that was a divine interruption. It was a divine opportunity in Herod's life that no matter how wicked he had been, there was one who had been born who could have wiped away all of Herod's sins, forgiven him of all that he had ever done. And instead of partnering with him, he went into self-preservation mode. And when he could not find Jesus, because God had told Joseph to take Jesus and Mary to Egypt, he said, well, I don't know which one it is. So he ordered the murder of the innocents, or the slaughter of the innocents. Every baby that was 2 years old and under, every male baby, was ordered killed. Herod was Antichrist in his behavior. I tell you all of that. It's pretty graphic. It's not pleasant. But I set the stage with that to ask this question. In 2026, how are we going to handle divine interruption? When God shows up in our life and he makes his tender mercies available morning by morning, God is faithful each and every day. Are we going to look at the situations that we encounter in life as something we need to fight against, or are we going to welcome divine interruption? We, you know, approach a service schedule every week. And, you know, there are certain things that are on the schedule. But we also try to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit in such a way that if God says, I want you to go into a different direction entirely, then we're going to move because it's his house, not my house. Herod viewed the divine interruption and said, you know what, I need to fight against that. And he tried to kill the gift that God had given him. When God shows up, he deserves our attention. His agenda should have priority over our agenda. We need to recognize his presence as a blessing and a gift. One of the reasons that Herod is so well known is because he was on the throne when Jesus was born. But instead of choosing to cooperate with God's plan, Herod chose the path that Pharaoh had chose, and that was to try and prevent God's will from taking place when he should have chosen to worship God. Contrast this with something I heard said about Queen Elizabeth while she was alive, that she had stated, I do so hope that Jesus returns during my lifetime so I can lay my crown at his feet. I don't know what 2026 has to offer, but I can pretty much guarantee you that there are going to be some interruptions. There's going to be some things that happen where God will strategically position us. I am a firm believer in that God strategically positions every believer in the body of Christ so that we can fulfill the purpose that God has for us in reaching Brevard County with the love of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. One other thing that I noticed here is Herod was the one who inquired of the chief priests and the scribes and said, search the scriptures to find out where the Christ was to be born. And they said he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. And Herod used the word of God about the Messiah to try and destroy lives. He used it as a weapon, where the living word of God has come to make dead people alive, has come to make bad people good, and to have us redeemed and our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The word is not meant to be used as a weapon to prevent God's word from happening. I guarantee you that there are people in the days to come who will reject God, but will believe God's word enough to try and use it to reinforce their positions. Here's one of the things that I have stated about one of the differences between the devil and God. The devil will not tell you the fine details. He will just present to you an opportunity. And if you make the poor decision to say yes to his offer, you will find that there's fine print that goes along with it, and it includes a price that is too much for you to be willing to pay. God says, this is what I'm going to do, and there is no power on earth, no power in hell that can stop me from bringing my word to pass. So I am very thankful for the word of God. By the way, I will tell you this about Herod. Shortly after he encountered the wise men, he died a very painful and miserable death, and no one was going to be mourning his passing. Herod needed the gift of interruption because he needed Jesus to be the king of his life. He didn't need to be on the throne. If you, like Herod, choose to maintain control and try to do everything in your power to continue to rule and reign in your own life instead of Jesus ruling and reigning in your life, 2026 promises to be a very difficult year. But if we say, God, I want to welcome you to interrupt my life however you see fit, because you are never an interruption. You are always the guest of honor. And so I pray that 2026 will be filled with divine encounters for you. So I preach this message on a Sunday. This is not all the message. I didn't even get through all of this particular point. The next day, which was the Monday before Christmas, I had a plan in place. I knew what I was going to do. And when I opened my eyes the next morning, I awakened to find a text message that said, I've got a divine interruption. And so I kicked into pastoral mode, and I went and I met that need. And while I was there, there was another interruption where I was asked to get involved in a situation, which I was more than glad to do, because whenever we have the opportunity to share Jesus and to show Jesus, we need to say, yes, Lord. Don't fear interruptions from God. Let's embrace them in 2026.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.